You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aaron Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, the Dodgers went out and did that thing of the worst way to win a series.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we wouldn't have wanted them to lose either of the other games either, but yeah, you just get greedy when they win the first two games. You think, all right, sweet, let's get a sweep, especially when we found out in the seventh or eighth inning that the Giants had lost, and so it's like we could go into the Giants series tied with them, and then, you know, one run game, extra inning game, all the things that are the Dodgers' Achilles heel this year, all just combined to be a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that along with the Dodgers defense kind of leading to the loss. So we'll get into the series, a couple injuries that occurred. We'll get into some starting pitching and pitching overall. And then we'll talk a little bit about just outside perspective of the Dodgers that Jeff experienced when he was listening to the game on the Rockies feed. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so like mentioned, the Dodgers lost on Sunday. They won the first two games of the series pretty handily, putting up big runs, putting up Coors Field-esque numbers out there, holding the Rockies to not Coors Field-esque numbers, and then faltered on Sunday in a close game. We can start off with the wins. Max Muncy looked really good up until Sunday. And we can get into this real quick. Mookie Betts looked really, really good and then came out of Saturday's game after hitting his third double and was out for Sunday's game. Should be back Monday. It was called hip irritation, which is something he's been dealing with all year. But just frustrating just because of the fact that he was hitting so well the two games that he played Friday, Saturday, and even going back to last week before the All-Star break.
Yeah, Mookie's been on a tear, and all in all, you know, if he's really back today on Monday and just missed the one game, that's basically the best case scenario. When we saw him pull up hobbling on that double, I think all of our stomachs dropped. It's like, oh, can we even enjoy this victory? It's just the worst. And so if he misses one game because of it, that we'll take that for sure. Obviously the fear is that, if part of his struggles earlier this season had to do with playing hurt, if he's back to playing a little bit hurt, is that going to affect it? One thing that maybe gives me a little bit of hope is Dave Roberts did mention a few days ago that Mookie and the hitting team had identified some flaws in his approach or tweaks that they made or whatever, and so that seemed to line up with Mookie's increased or improved performance. And seeing these pitches that he's been lining for doubles are the pitches that he had been hitting lazy flyouts to center earlier in the season. And so if that really does line up, hopefully the hip irritation, even if it continues to nag him, will be more along the lines of slowing him down and not along the lines of affecting his hitting, hopefully.
Other good part is that Dave Roberts usually downplays injuries a little bit, especially if it's more a little bit unknown. And he did do that after Saturday, but Mookie was actually one of the ones that spoke to the media, and he downplayed it even more. Basically just said he made his hip a little more mad than he has in the past. It's something that he's been dealing with, and he made it seem like it wasn't a big deal. It's one of those things where he's probably going to have it the rest of the year, it appears, if he's already had it so far this year. And they don't really have the margin for error to put him on an IL stint. Him not going to the All-Star game was about as close as he'll get to an IL stint probably. So, yeah, like I said, hopefully what he found isn't what's causing extra irritation. Hopefully what they found is going to continue, and then hopefully the Dodgers don't have to miss him too much the rest of the year. They may have to give him a couple more days off here and there, but that's a lot better than putting him on the IL, not knowing exactly when he's going to come back. Another injury that did occur, Gavin Lux. Similar in the sense where Mookie didn't necessarily pull up. He never really got fully accelerated and just kind of jogged into second base. I mean, he was limping, but he's not like he was running full speed and pulled up. Gavin Lux, similar. He was, his hamstring grabbed out his left hamstring after hitting a ball. And same thing, never really like pulled up. It just kind of all happened at once, and he kind of jogged his way to first base. After the game, they called it a mild cramp slash strain. They're going to get him, sit him down the next few days, get him some testing done. But even with Seager's return seemingly imminent, it's not a good sign for Gavin Lux to go down. And hopefully it is just mild cramp from that hot, thin air out there in Denver.
Yeah, another reason why baseball shouldn't be played in Denver. I definitely hope it's not serious. I am interested to see if, you know, the Dodgers generally aren't a reactionary team. But since Corey is so close to coming back, I'm interested to see if this does bump up his timeline a little bit. You know, he's been taking his swings, doing sim games at Camelback and stuff. It doesn't seem like there would be any injury risk for bringing Corey back early. It seems like it would just be an effectiveness risk and, you know, getting the bat in the line, especially if Muncy, he's going to miss a few days sometime this week, most likely, when Kelly has the baby. And so, if you're missing Lux and Muncy at the same time, that kind of weakens things. Obviously Lux hasn't been lighting the world on fire offensively. And so maybe bringing Corey back, maybe that makes it easier to just plug Corey in, even if you don't think he's totally ready offensively. He probably won't be much worse than Lux has been lately. So I'm interested to see if that has any impact on it.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing with Seager's injury, like you said, is if it's healed, it's healed. It's not necessarily something that can get re-aggravated unless his bone just got weaker when it healed. But either way, last guy we're going to talk about from the weekend, Cody Bellinger, who struggled once again. Dave Roberts put him in the leadoff spot on Sunday. He had good numbers against John Gray. He got worse. Those numbers got worse on Sunday going against John Gray. And he just hasn't really found it so far this season. I've seen a lot of, I don't know, I'd call it overreaction a little bit to Bellinger. I've seen some, I mean, not a lot, but I've seen some callings to be sent down. I've seen some callings to just, I don't know, a lot of different things with him. And we've talked about him a little bit before, and it's just a matter of, regardless of his struggles right now, the Dodgers are A, still playing well, and B, need his defense out there in center field. So it's a matter of, at this point, in this particular part of the season, any offense from him is extra. And he, like I said, he still hasn't even played that many games. So whatever it is, hopefully he can find it on the way. But there's no, there's nothing else going to happen to Bellinger. He's going to be out there in center field the majority of the time, no matter what.
Yeah, Kevin Kiermaier has literally made all-star teams by playing gold glove defense and not being able to hit. What Belly brings is at least the ability to run into one, even when he's struggling. You know, we saw that walk-off home run. He had a walk-off home run, right? He has that explosive power when he does accidentally run into one, even if he's not doing it consistently. And the defense is so good. And he, a track record like Belly's, he also has a track record of, tinkering with things and struggling for long stretches at a time. But he's also literally a former MVP based on his offense. You know, he is a very good hitter when he's on. And, I don't think I would be willing to bet anybody $1 million, and I don't even have $1 million, but I'd be willing to bet that $1 million that I don't have, that the Dodgers haven't even considered for 2 seconds sending Bellinger to the minor leagues.
They haven't considered it, and they shouldn't consider it. Like I said, his defense out there is the most important thing. Like I said, the Dodgers are playing well. If they were struggling and not playing well, and you know, kind of like 2018 where they were struggling. They had to find different ways. Bellinger was struggling. Basically turned him into a platoon-type player. They don't have that luxury anymore. They need him out there in center field, especially with all the other injuries and injuries that may happen down the line. So he's going to figure it out to a certain extent. He'll have a serviceable year offensively at the very least, and he's going to, you know, pay big dividends in center field, not just now, but in the postseason like we saw last year.
Yeah, he struggled last year very badly in the regular season, and then he hit, you know, one of a handful of most important home runs for the Dodgers in the postseason last year.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to come back and talk about the pitching staff and some of the injuries and things of that nature, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, and let's take a look at the odds for tonight's game, Giants and Dodgers, Kevin Gausman versus Tony Gonsolin. The Dodgers are actually still favored at 1.5 runs, but they are at plus 165, which means you'll make more money if you bet on them to win by 2 runs or more. Giants are at minus 190 with plus 1.5, so they are you're going to have to put down extra money in order to win extra money. Anyways, all this is to tell you to head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device to check out all the odds, sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. And right now, with the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, you can get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Jeff, we're back and talking pitching staff, starting pitching. We'll start there. The Dodgers, we'll talk about this a little bit. It didn't necessarily line up their rotation with the thought that they are playing the Giants for 4 games after playing the Rockies this weekend. That's how you get a Kevin Gausman, Tony Gonsolin matchup. That's how you get a TBD, a guaranteed TBD matchup in a series that is kind of important, but also in a 4-game series. You're throwing 4 of your 5 pitchers anyways, but it just, you know, was interesting that they didn't choose to use maybe Gonsolin and the TBD this weekend or even David Price and line up someone a little better for Gausman on Monday.
Yeah, it is interesting when you only have 4 starters and you have a 4-game series against the team in front of you. You might think, okay, let's use our 4 starters in that series. One thought is maybe they expect more from JoJo Gray than they did from David Price. You know, they got 4 innings out of Price. I think they're probably hoping for at least that much from Gray. And, you know, obviously making a major league debut, and this is all just kind of assuming that he is the TBD on Tuesday, making his major league debut, chances are it's not going to be, you know, spectacular. But hopefully he will be solid and give them 5 innings and, you know, allow a run or two and you know, kind of give them a chance to win. The other thing, like you said, there's 4 games, so everybody else is going to get into the game. The other thing when it comes to Gausman is, it not like it's a punt game, but you'd hate to have Buehler go against Gausman and the Dodgers lose 2-1, you know? It's kind of like, I always wonder if teams ever consider on opening day having saving their ace for game 2, knowing that you're going up against the other team's ace. You know, you'd hate to waste a start by your ace when your team only scores 1 run or whatever. I doubt that any of that came into the Dodgers' mind. I think it mostly was just kind of what you were saying, that they just didn't worry about it. They're just treating these games with the Giants as just another series where they're going to go out and, you know, their goal is to win every series, win every game, and kind of, there's not that much that they would do differently if they were taking this series more seriously, I guess.
And they play them 7 times in the next 10-11 days or so. So realistically, they're going to face them and get their guys against them no matter what. And it also kind of lines up to where Buehler and Julio throw in the next series. So that's probably why they did it, more so than the reasons we talked about. So that makes a lot more sense. In terms of, like you said, that Tuesday start right now is a TBD. Josiah Gray has been mentioned by name by Dave Roberts as a possibility. They wanted to see how they got through the weekend and how Tony Gonsolin's start goes on Monday. They didn't really have to use too much of the bullpen this weekend, which is a good sign. So they will have somewhat of a full bullpen going into Monday's game. Hopefully Gonsolin can give them a little bit of length, but it's very possible Josiah Gray's major league debut may be on Tuesday. The really only other options, unless they go a full bullpen game, are not Mitch White because he pitched on Sunday. It's not Gerardo Carrillo, who is on the 40-man roster, but he pitched Saturday or Sunday. So it would seem to be a bullpen game if it's not Josiah Gray, which makes it seem like it is going to be Josiah Gray. He threw around 60-something pitches his last start, so he could probably ramp it up to 70, 75 in this start, which is should be, in a perfect world, good enough for 4 or 5 innings, which is all they can really ask for at this point.
Yeah, you'd think so. I know that friend of the show, Ryan Pepio, has been on the same schedule as Gray. They've both been on the show, both friends of the show. They've been on the same schedule. I assume their most recent starts were on the same day also, so I guess Pepio would be the other option. But unless they really feel like Pepio could give them more length just because Gray is coming off the injury, I think Gray makes more sense at this point coming from AAA instead of AA, you know, just a little bit more ready. But that would mean finding a spot for him on the 40-man roster.
Yeah, which I don't know exactly who's on the 40-man roster. Jimmy Sherfy, you know, sorry, you might be the guy that heads out. It was a cool moment, I guess, on Friday's game where cool and super random. The Dodgers had 3 Oregon Ducks pitch in that game, and all 3 happened to be on the Oregon Ducks at the same time. So it was the first time since 2013 that Sherfy, Garrett Clevenger, and Jake Reed all pitched on the same game. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. I would guess Sherfy will get more of a chance. He looked good in that game, and you know they do still have you know a couple other guys who maybe are more likely to get bumped off the 40-man roster. Who was it that I was thinking of? Andy Burns is who I was thinking of. You know, obviously he's not he's performed pretty well in the minors and did okay in the big leagues, but Andy Burns is a guy who's not, you know, he's not young. He's 30, almost 31 years old. And so he's a guy who is kind of a good DFA candidate, possibly, or probably might even get through waivers and be able to stay in the organization. So, you know, Burns or somebody like that, you know, maybe opens up that spot. But yeah, one way or the other, it'll be exciting. I think we might get a chance to see Josiah Gray's debut this week, and that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good and pretty ideal for the Dodgers to have a potential another starter in there rather than a bullpen game. Just another quick note of guys that can clear waivers. Steven Souza Jr. cleared waivers and is actually going to stay with the Dodgers. He accepted the assignment, so we'll see. Maybe he'll get another run at some point. In terms of the rest of the starting pitching, Clayton Kershaw is not expected back till August, just based on the fact that they're not going to rush him back. So it's another at least 2 weeks without Kershaw, which means another 2 to 3 starts, depending what that timeline looks like. So if Josiah Gray gets in, he might be here for 2 to 3 starts, depending on how the Dodgers handle it. But it's a good sign that so far Kershaw hasn't had any setbacks or anything.
For sure. And, you know, it is a little bit longer than we might have thought right off the bat. But, you know, some of the stuff that Robert said kind of indicated, you know, even though we said, and I still believe that they wouldn't have done this if it wasn't a legit injury, but Roberts did kind of indicate, well, this is also a good chance. We knew we were going to have to give Kershaw a couple starts off at some point during the season, just because of the increased workload with a shortened season last year. And so it seems like they are kind of taking this opportunity to really give him some time off.
And Kershaw mentioned that, not that specific guy, but he did mention that, you know, he wants to be good for October, so that's why they're going to slow play it a little bit. So that might factor into it. It might just be a rotating injured list stints the rest of the way, depending how things go for the Dodgers, because Julio will need rest at some point. Buehler might need some rest at some point, so we'll see how they play it. And then another just quick note on the pitching staff. Victor Gonzalez threw with the Quakes this weekend and is expected back on Monday. Hopefully the plantar fasciitis was the injury that has bugged him and kept him from throwing a lot of strikes this season, and he can get it going.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, we're going to come back and just talk about outside perspective of the Dodgers, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Did you know Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar? You probably have if you've listened to this podcast, but did you also know that they have many delicious flavors? You probably have if you listen to this podcast, but I'm going to tell you about them again. The Built Bar flavors, they got a bunch. Right now they got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream. My favorite flavor is honestly whatever one I open up that day. There's no bad flavors. There's some that you might like better than others, but they're all good flavors to me. If you want to try them all, you can always get a mix box and you'll get two of each of whatever flavors they have on tap at the time. But not only are they tasty, but they also are healthy. They all got about 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams sugar and grams net carbs. And they taste great, so there's really no reason for you not to go get a Built Bar. They're also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Right now, you can go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Jeff, final segment here, and one that you had brought up. You drove to LA on Sunday, so had to listen to the game on the radio, and it was the Rockies home broadcast, and I'm sure they said some things about the Dodgers that were interesting, because that's why you want to talk about it. So I will give you the floor.
Yeah, it was definitely a had to. I would not choose to listen to the Rockies broadcast. Their radio announcers both seem like good guys. It's Jack Corrigan and Mike Rice, and They know their baseball. They do really well. A couple things that really bother me. Jack Corrigan talks slower than anybody I have ever met in my life. And it's not like sometimes I know that I will, you know, I'll get thinking and I'll pause in the middle of a sentence and stuff, but he knows what he's saying. He just takes a long time to say the individual words, and oh my gosh. And then the other thing today, he was being kind of passive aggressive. I don't know. Yeah, maybe you can tell me, you were watching the game. Was the home plate umpire bad today?
No, nothing egregious, because I don't really remember. So,
okay. I heard Jack Corrigan say the word apparently close to a dozen times, where that pitch misses outside, apparently. So seemed really passive aggressive, not agreeing with the home plate umpire's calls. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You know, it's not a bad broadcast other than talking really slow. But I thought it was interesting because, you know, we as fans, we're watching every Dodger game. We're living and dying by these Dodger teams. And I've mentioned in the past how, you know, every fan of every team thinks that their team has the worst bullpen and, you know, is the worst with runners in scoring position and has the worst manager. And that's because we remember the failures and we don't remember the successes. And so if a team goes 3 for 10 with runners in scoring position, you're going to remember those 2 strikeouts and 5 groundouts, and you're not going to remember the 3 hits, you know, and that's just how human nature works. If Kenley Jansen, he has 21 saves and 3 blown saves. The 3 blown saves are going to weigh a lot heavier in our minds than the 21 saves, you know, hypothetically speaking. And so it's always interesting to me to hear an outsider's perspective. And in some ways, you have to take it with a grain of salt, because in some ways it is significantly less valid, because Jack Corrigan and Mike Rice don't watch the Dodgers nearly as much as you and I do. And so they don't necessarily know them as well as we do. But on the other hand, they don't have the same biases that we do and the same selective memory that we do. And so a couple things that they mentioned that stood out to me. One that was really interesting was Corrigan said, this Dodgers team, one thing we've seen about them, and that, you know, I guess today was what, the 10th game that the two teams have played against each other. So one thing we've seen against them, the Dodgers this year, is when you give them an opportunity, they jump on it. They capitalize on your mistakes. And you and I were just talking, what, a week or so ago? I don't remember what situation it was. We were talking about how some game where it seemed, oh, it was in that Marlins series, that frustrating Marlins series, where it seemed like the Marlins were taking advantage of every opportunity and the Dodgers weren't. And so I thought that was really interesting to hear an outsider's perspective, seeing in these 10 games that we've seen the Dodgers, they are jumping on things, you know, and specifically it was, you know, before JT's 2-run homer today, there was the flyout by whoever was up, Muncie, I guess, where Price almost got doubled off first base, and they thought that a better throw from the center fielder could have doubled Price off first base, and then JT that would have ended the inning if Price had got doubled off, and instead JT hit the two-run homer to give the Dodgers the lead, and so that kind of spurred it. But I don't know. You have any thoughts on that, Vince? That mindset of the Dodgers being a team that really does capitalize on these mistakes?
I mean, I do think that they are better than probably more teams than capitalizing on mistakes. We know them as a team that struggles with bases loaded, but if you look at the numbers, I'm sure they're a lot better than most teams with bases loaded, and they do draw a lot of walks. They do make pitchers work. They do, you know, they've definitely taken advantage of stuff before. But, you know, just the whole team as an outside, you know, an outside perspective on the Dodgers in general is a lot of people probably feel that way, that the, you know, Dodgers, you see the word juggernaut and you see the Dodgers still rank in the top one or two almost every week on power rankings across the board. Even when they were struggling, they never really got out of the top five, even if they weren't top five best records. And you see, you know, a lot of people, it's kind of weird because, like I said, we're in the Dodgers bubble. So, you know, Dodgers, they suck and things like that. And day to day, they frustrate us. But in the grand scheme of things, they're still the odds on favorite to win the West and the NL and the World Series. So the outside perspective is a lot different than the Dodger fans' perspective. And they do seem like a team that has maybe a shutdown bullpen or a great starting rotation, which is true regardless of Dodger fandom or not. But are a team that take advantage of opportunities or are a great hitting team. And it's just funny because, you know, like I said, we're in this Dodger bubble, and it feels every day you feel more frustration than anything. And, you know, we've been spoiled a little bit as fans the last 8 years, 9 years, because they've always won the division, always been in the playoffs, always had a chance to win a World Series, been in the World Series 3 of the last 4 seasons. So it's just I guess, you know, I feel like we do a good job of taking a step back and kind of enjoying it for what it is. But when you talk to other people, you know, I have a lot of Giants fans, friends, and they're kind of waiting for their collapse a little bit, kind of waiting for the Dodgers to take over. They know kind of what the deal is, but they're just enjoying the ride for what it is. And that's what we've been doing for the last 9 years now.
So while you were talking, I actually looked up all 30 teams with bases loaded this year, just to kind of get a feel for how realistic we are being. I'll tell you this, and I'm gonna make you take some guesses, okay? The Dodgers have by far the most plate appearances with bases loaded this year. They have 143 plate appearances. Second most is the Astros with 124. So on, let's say, batting average, where do you think the Dodgers rank on batting average with bases loaded this year among the 30 teams?
Top 10.
Yes, that is correct. Also top one by a lot. The Dodgers have a .368 batting average with runners with bases loaded this year. That's 43 hits out of their 143 plate appearances with bases loaded this year. 117 at bats, 43 for 17. .368 batting average. Where would you say they rank in slugging percentage with bases loaded?
Top three.
Top one also by a lot, remembering they have 9 grand slams this year, which is also by far the most, not by far, the Braves have 7, but the Dodgers have a .701 slugging percentage with bases loaded this year. Next best is the Angels at .617. And believe it or not, the Dodgers are also top one in OPS with bases loaded, .1093. Second best is .1015 by the Rays. So yeah, the Dodgers, like you said, sometimes our brains just remember the failures, and so we're probably remembering those 80 times that they've gotten out with bases loaded and forgetting the 43 times that they haven't. And it is pretty remarkable what they've done.
That's a legit MVP candidate. That's an MVP, the MVP, those numbers.
Yeah, yeah. If you have a 1090, that's better than Fernando Tatis this year, better than whoever you think is going to be the MVP. The Dodgers are better than that player with bases loaded. The other interesting perspective from these Rockies announcers was talking about the Dodgers' power, and they kept mentioning the Dodgers are second in the National League in home runs behind only the Giants. And it's only, I think they were like 6 home runs behind the Giants or something. And, you know, you and I have talked several times this year about how it feels like the Dodgers aren't hitting very many homers, or at least not as many as we're used to. And, you know, in a way that's true, because in the last couple of years, the Dodgers have led the National League by a lot in home runs. So, and the Giants used to not hit any. And so the fact that the Dodgers are behind the Giants in home runs does kind of bear that out. But I thought it was interesting, the outsider's perspective, focusing on, man, this team hits a lot of home runs, whereas we sometimes focus on, man, I wish they'd hit more home runs.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, across the board, just the way the nature of the beast goes. And it just feels, I think, just because they're not in first place, they've had an up and down year. And we talked about this just last week about how, you know, where they're at this point in the season, second best record, you know, anything else, you would take it. But I think the fact that they're just behind the Giants. So in the next 2 weeks, things may change where they, you know, overtake the Giants, maybe make a couple trades, fortify themselves for the rest of the season. And I think the perspective may change a little bit, but it's definitely, you're always going to feel different about your team. And I think maybe the Lakers are probably the only team of mine that I ever feel confident in, just because I've seen them win so much. And maybe because it doesn't matter as much because I've seen them win so much. So I'm like, I've never felt, you know, not confident in the Lakers, especially when it comes to the playoffs or whatever the case is. Whereas the Dodgers, it's just one of those, you're always waiting for the worst to happen. And just because in some cases we have seen the worst happen, and in a lot of cases we've seen a lot of good, but you definitely remember the bad more than the good overall.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that was just something I thought was interesting as I listened to the game on the radio, getting that outsider's perspective. I can't necessarily recommend that you listen to a Rockies broadcast. Like I said, they both seem like nice guys, knowledgeable guys, but Jack Corrigan's cadence might drive you crazy. Maybe you're not as picky as I am, so maybe it won't. But, you know, but listening to an opponent's broadcast can sometimes give you those insights and realize, maybe give you a little bit of a reminder of, oh yeah, this Dodgers team, the rest of the league looks at these Dodgers as a juggernaut.
Yeah, just not an ESPN broadcast, because that doesn't help anybody.
No, sir.
All right, Jeff, that's all we had on our plate. You got anything else to add?
I don't think so. Yeah, hopefully Mookie's back today. Hopefully Lux isn't out for too long, and hopefully we see Seager soon, get to see JoJo Gray's debut this week. And, you know, even though it was frustrating that the Dodgers come into this series down by a game still, when they had such a good chance to be tied with the Giants coming into the series, the Dodgers still can take care of business and walk out in 4 days. If they win the series, they'll walk out of the series in first place. You know, win 3 out of 4 and take over first place and don't give it back at all.
Yeah, 7 of the next 10 games against the Giants. So big, big times right now for the Dodgers and for, well, I guess the Giants as well. So looking forward to all that. We'll be here every weekday morning to talk about it, as always. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to spread the word by word of mouth. You know, friends, family, Dodger fans, coworkers, someone who works at your local grocery store. I don't know. Anybody you want to tell about Locked On Dodgers, go ahead and do so. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Betting on the Dodgers doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!